They always told me I was speaking too early. Your lack of buddies is a little concerning. You heard the rumors, now I'm here and confirming. I made a friend in my 30s.
Welcome back to Jam Mechanics Mansion. Ladies, gents, friends, betwixt and beyond the gender binary, my name is Matt. I'm from the Narcissist Cookbook. And with me in Jam Mechanics Mansion for season two is...
Bug from Bug Hunter. I have some bad news for you, Matt.
What? We just got here.
Oh, well, so here... We took a two-month break. And because we took a two-month break, while we were gone... A big businessman in a big suit and a big cigar came and he tore down Jam Mechanics Mansion. And he paved over it and he put in a gas station. It's because we left. If we had stayed, he wouldn't have done it. But he was a big businessman with a big suit and a big cigar and he paved over it.
What? Just one guy in like a steamroller?
Yeah, and a big steamroller came by. We weren't there tied to the mansion anymore. And he paved over it.
Sounds like we narrowly avoided death, to be honest.
I'm also like 95% sure it was Jam Mechanics Castle, but now I genuinely can't remember.
Welcome. You were doing a bit. You were building up to something.
No, that was my
that
whole
was
bit.
It?
That was my whole bit.
Okay. Welcome back to season two. This is a great jumping on point. Jam Mechanics is a songwriting podcast unlike any other. We are given a challenge and we have to take that prompt and we go away for 3 hours, not recorded.
Not recorded.
We go away
Don't
for three
worry.
Hours using the magic of podcast and radio. We transport you forward 3 hours. During that 3 hours, we need to start from nothing and we need to write and demo an entire song, come back and share it with the class. That's what we do.
And the reason we do that is because Matt from the Narcissist Cookbook and I, Bug from Bug Hunter, are songwriters. Just to kind of quickly reintroduce ourselves to anybody who might be jumping on right now, Matt from Scotland has a project called the Narcissist Cookbook. Can you tell us like what your project is?
Yeah, the Narcissist Cookbook is transcendent folk storytelling, according to some press clips I got. Yeah, it's like half spoken word. It is half sort of acoustic punk. It is just sort of whatever I feel like doing at any given moment in my little studio in my living room where I am sitting right now. But also with me is Bug Hunter, acclaimed international superstar. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Bug Hunter?
I call this lyrical indie pop. Some people
yeah,
don't.
Yeah, that's good. I saw that and yeah. I was like, oh, fuck, that's good.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like that because some people are like, that's not a thing. You made that up. And I say, all genres are made up, but it kind of fits. I don't know why it fits because it's not like other pop songs don't have lyrics, but people seem to kind of get it. So
exactly.
That's yeah. who we are. That's our pedigree. That's why you should care. If you haven't listened to season one, go back and do that right now. We'll wait for you.
But you also don't need to listen to season one. Like,
no.
Season one is good. Season one is better than it has any right to be.
Season one is super good. Yeah. But having said that, we're changing the formula. Here's some changes that we have in store for season two. In season one, we would both come to the recording with a challenge in mind for the other one. So I would challenge Matt to do something. Maybe it's just a word. Maybe it's the word accident. Or Matt might come to me with a challenge, something like...
Write a song on that piano behind you.
Which was the worst prompt that he gave me last season. So we've decided something that might be fun because we were coming to the show with totally different ideas. What if we hopped off the same idea? What if we had one prompt and we both had to write a song about the same prompt and see how different or similar they were?
What we have done is we're bringing in an external... observer. We're bringing in a UN inspector.
A freelancer. A jam consultant.
different person every episode, and we're going to get them to pitch us two prompts. And from that prompt, the two of us need to agree on what prompt we are going to tackle together.
But first, we got to get to know each other.
You know that Simpsons episode where Homer gives Marge a bowling ball and she's like, I don't want this. And he's like, oh, well, I guess I've got a bowling ball now. Mm-hmm. I just got something I want to talk about. I'm going to ask you a question.
I'm ready.
You can answer it if you want. Bug, have you ever had a haircut so bad that the hairdresser refused to let you pay for it?
My father cuts my hair. And I do not pay him. And he actually does a very good job, according to me. And if he ever really, really beefs it, which has happened, he's right there. He's in-house to just clean that right up.
You are fully not joking.
This is not a joke. My father is pretty good at cutting hair.
When was the last time you got your hair cut by someone who wasn't a blood relative?
Technically, a couple months ago, because I had to go to my wife's graduation, and there was nothing to be done about it. I had to get a haircut, and my dad doesn't live here. Normally, I just get a haircut every time I see my dad, which is every, like, 2 months or so.
I can't imagine what your hair would look like when you're like, this is out of control.
Yeah.
I need to get this cut.
It was bad, but I do have a funny story about that, because it was for my wife's graduation, and this might not be funny, but it was for the graduation. I had talked about that in the seat. Like, I'm getting a haircut for my wife's graduation, yada, yada. I go to pay, and the lady is like, well, tell your wife congratulations from Sports Cuts. And I was just, will do. And I walked out the door. I was like, and I did. I went, I was like, Ladybug, Sports Cuts, sends their regards.
You should have gotten the biggest bouquet of flowers. I don't know if you gave your wife a bouquet of flowers, but you should have gotten a bigger one from Sports Clips. Also, what the hell is Sports Cuts? Sports Clips?
You know, it's one of those places where men can go and get their haircuts.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
They play sports on the TV.
But they call it Sports Cuts. Because a real man doesn't cut his goddamn hair. okay, well, listen, you answered that question better than I expected you to. Let me just go on my rant for a second. I needed to go and get my haircut because I'd been so stressed about my US visa that I literally hadn't done a thing in about 9 months. I hadn't cleaned my house. I sit down and he says, what do you want? And immediately I'm just like, I never know how to answer that question.
Yeah,
I don't want anything.
Yeah, a haircut. Like, you know, I don't know.
I want it to be shorter. But not short. Mm-hmm. You know, I want it to be shorter than it is, but not super short. And I think all he heard in his hairdresser chemicals addled brain was just short, shorter, really, really short. Because immediately he's just like, I know exactly what you want. And so he gets out the trimmers. That's fine. Sometimes people get the trimmers out. They're trimming it. He doesn't stop trimming it. And I'm like, this is so much trimming. 10 minutes in, I'm like, can I just stop you for a moment and just like turn around and just like check in about where we are at? He was trying to give me a fucking Peaky Blinders cut. He was trying to give me like the cut that was fashionable 10 years ago, that's, famous for being the worst haircut in the world.
That's why they wear the hat, right?
He was wearing a hat. There was a dog in there, okay? And then at the end, he was like, what do you think? And I was like, oh, it's great. I love it. do you have a...
I do. So we have fan questions. So if you wanna submit a question, we got a form in our Discord that you can fill out. This is for both of us, but I'm just gonna pose it to Matt. This is coming from, oh God, it even says good luck pronouncing this. Kjeld, what is a particular strange gift you got on tour from a fan, or was there anything that you struggled to get home?
Oh, yeah, a lot of soft things. I've got like a crotcheted asexual cup of coffee.
There's no way that that's how you pronounce that word, even crotcheted. In Scotland. There's not a chance. I'm not falling for it. That is not how you pronounce that word.
Yeah, I got my car valeted the other day, and apparently it's pronounced valeted. And I'm like, how about...
It's absolutely not.
It's pronounced valet.
Yeah, we're both on the same page about that one.
Yeah, I don't know why you're getting on my case about this.
Crotcheted is not that word.
Okay, here's the thing about this. I'm so confused. I'm so confused about what is the right pronunciation that I like quadruple guess myself whenever I go to say that something was crocheted. I'm like, crocheted? No, people keep telling me I'm wrong. It's crocheted. No, that's not right. I don't know. I don't know anymore. Anyway, friends at home, please welcome to Jam Mechanics Mansion, Castle, Garage, wherever we are now.
It's the Jam Cabin.
That's so good. Yes. Welcome to the Jam McCabin. The artist that you will associate with all of Jam Mechanics art and a large proportion of Bug Hunter's art, Deep Blue Ink.
We got Deep Blue Ink. This is a big get. This is a big get for episode one.
And by get, I mean already in the room with us is Deep Blue Ink. Say hi, Deep Blue Ink.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me here on Jam Mechanics.
Deep Blue Ink is not only a very talented animator, has worked with Mabim Bam, Drawfee, Dropout. Also, ostensibly, a Jam Mechanics listener. I see you comment.
Oh my God, ostensibly?
Yeah, I see you comment on the YouTube videos every week.
Ostensibly, number one fan.
There we go.
Push your mouth, it's excellent. I have gone back to, there's probably a more easy way of doing this, but I keep going back to episode 2 and episode 10 just to listen to the hook, An Accident, on repeat. At this point, I should have just downloaded it.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Figured out how to put it on Spotify, but it's great.
All the songs are on Bandcamp and our website, jammechanics.com.
Yeah.
Thanks for that plug, Deep Blue Ink.
You've brought us a couple of, prompts, and we're going to argue over them in front of you, like dad and dad arguing at the Christmas table.
We do, before we run to that, we are going to ask Deep Blue Ink a couple of icebreaker questions.
True. Deep Blue Ink, let me ask you, have you ever had a haircut so bad that your hairdresser refused to let you pay for it?
No, that's outstanding. I literally got my hair cut 2 days ago because I'm getting married later this year, and it's the first time I'm trying to like narrow down getting a haircut to a science. I went in and said, can I have a shave on the back and sides? I want it between a 2 and a 3 and a scissor on top. Leave it quite long, please. And it was a lovely haircut. I'm quite happy with it. But then I also, after the haircut, maybe sounded really needy because I went, was that okay? Did I ask for it? Did I ask for it all right?
Mark, you had something to ask as well, I believe.
Deep Blue Ink, what's your jam? What's a song that you've been listening to lately? Song or artist you've been listening to lately that you've really, really liked that you want to tell us about?
I'm really into like lo-fi, like indie pop that sounds like it was recorded on someone's phone at the minute. That's kind of how I'm finding my music.
Amazing.
Yep.
But then also Birthday Cake by Miracles in Modern Science, Diary by Rowena Wise. There's lots of, I'm trying to name everyone I know that has like less than 100 listeners on Spotify that I want people to listen to.
Sounds like I got some homework.
We should put together a playlist of all of our guest jams.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Are we ready?
Yeah.
We're ready. Okay.
All right.
Ruin my day. Here
okay,
we go.
Okay. Deep Blue Ink has 2 prompts for us. The format of this is Deep Blue Ink is going to give us 2 different prompts, and we are going to come together. This isn't Matt takes one, I take one. This is, we are going to go off the same one, but we're going to give 2 prompts just to give us a little bit of flexibility to make our case, argue for, choose the one that feels best for our initial ideas. And then by the break, we will have what prompt we're going to go with, and then we'll go away for 3 hours. So, Deep Blue Ink, what do you got for us?
I have prompt number 1. To celebrate to celebrate Matt's successful visa application and your upcoming tour in the US, my first prompt is transatlanticism in its whatever form you want it to be, the relationship between the UK and the US, being a Brit in America, being an American in the UK.
Transatlanticism, isn't that a Death Cab for Cutie album?
It is. I was so sure it was a word, and my partner, who is an English teacher, went, I've never heard this word before. Are you sure? Googled it and was like, this is just a Def Cab for Cutie album.
Okay, number 2.
Your second prompt. Maybe this was less thought out, but maybe this is for sending to potential sponsorships for season 3. Try to sell me something.
Sell you something. You.
Could be me. Could be me, the listener. It could be me. I don't know.
And there's two
try
two
to sell
options.
Me something.
Sell you something. Sell me this song.
Interesting.
Sell me this song. Sell me a product. Sell me. Try to sell me.
Like commercial jingle? It could be an indie jingle about Pringles.
I mean,
the indie Pringle jingle.
The indie Pringle jingle, yeah.
Yeah. My first reaction is Sell Me Something sounds like something Bug could go off the deep end with. And because I'm competitive, I want to go for number one. Transatlanticism also kind of appeals to me just because, you know, like distance, water, alienation, those are things I sing about anyway.
I think I'm on board. I think Sell You Something is giving the back of my head, it's giving me a TV theme song from last season, you know, and it might, I think I won't escape the, in a 3-hour time period, I won't escape the pull of commercial jingle. If I sat down and tried to do it, I think, you know, it's like when they say, when you're trying to avoid something, but you keep looking at it.
That tree in the desert that people keep crashing into.
That Sell You Something is that tree in the desert for me, where I would end up writing the indie Pringle jingle. And so I think I'm cool to go with transatlanticism. I feel like that, I don't have an idea for it. And that almost makes me feel like it might end up being better because I can sit with my thoughts and think about it for a second. What do you think?
Yeah, I can definitely do transatlanticism. Okay. I can do that.
My jam mechanics for your brain was like, I can't wait for them to play the intro music for a couple of seconds and me to get to hear these songs right now.
Unfortunately, not only do you have to, you don't get to wait 15 seconds, you don't get to wait 3 hours, you get to wait a month to hear the end result of this. But hopefully it'll be worth it. Deep Blue Ink, thank you for coming on and helping us kick off our new season of Jam Mechanics with some great prompts. Anything you wanna plug before you go?
Yeah, go on. And I'm Deep Blue Ink. I'm an animator. I've got a YouTube channel that is where all of the content goes. I'm on everything else. I'm on Tumblr, Twitter.
They're very good. They're very funny. Deep Blue Ink. One thing I did want to bring up, and I wanted people to know this: if you notice that our new artwork for season two is updated, it's a Greek thing, ancient Greek thing. Went from the caveman thing to the Greek thing. I want everybody to know Deep Blue Ink came back with only one question when I said we're doing togas this time, and Deep Blue Ink came back with just one question, one piece of clarification. Said,
are we happy for the nips to be out? Look, when I think of ancient Greece, the one thing comes to mind, and it comes to mind straight away, and that is them fucking nips. And I want them, and I want them out, and I want people to finally see animated Deep Blue Ink bug on their nips. And I've been silenced, and frankly, I think we should all be frustrated and outraged.
Here is the thing that you people at home don't know, is that every time Bug's like, should we get Deep Blue Ink on again? I'm just like, you know, we're going to get like 20 pictures of us with nipples. And Deep Blue Ink's just like, what do you think of this one? I'm like, so many nipples.
There's so many nipples on this art.
So many nipples, more than four.
If I listen to this episode and the comment section is not full of people saying hashtag Bug Nips for Blue, I'll be livid. Friend in my 30s.
And we are back from the break, episode one, season two of Jam Mechanics.
Done it.
Getting back on the saddle, aren't we here?
But why would I ever bother writing or recording under any other circumstances? That's what I'm wondering.
Even this week, I was like, I should write a song. I was like, I got Jam Mechanics on Saturday.
You got to be careful of that. Eventually, all you'll have is Jam Mechanics songs.
Am I going to go first? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, you go first.
Here's my first thought. So the idea was, as Deep Blue Ink gave us, transatlanticism. My first thought, strangely, was like, I'm going to write a love song about the Statue of Liberty being in love with the Eiffel Tower and they're separated by an ocean.
That was an awe of like admiration. That wasn't an awe of like, that's disgusting.
Yeah, maybe I'll cut that out so that I can use it in the future. But that was my first thought, was just trying to like, well, maybe there's like a love, like a unconventional across the ocean love story. So then I started researching some things. I found my way onto Wikipedia. Thing that I put in was the first transatlantic underwater cable. That's where I drew my inspiration for the song. My song is called Agamemnon, which is the name of the ship that laid that first, it was one of the ships that laid that first transatlantic telegraph cable. Here's the lyrics, and okay. you can feel free to go ahead and hit go whenever you want to.
I'm gonna hit go in 3, 2, 1, a go.
I am aboard the Agamemnon, we are laying down a line. It's gonna cross the ocean floor, the greatest project of our time. A telegraph from Newfoundland will reach the Irish shores. But by the time this note arrives, you will not love me anymore.
Ooh, nice.
I am aboard the Agamemnon, laying cables in the sea. For the purpose of the president to parlay with the queen. But as for me, I've got this letter that I'll send you in the morn. But by the time this note arrives, you will not love me anymore. You will not love me by the time you read this note. You told me you would wait if I had to go. I keep your photo in a locket to remind me of my But while aboard the Agamemnon, I have so much time to dream of a world where I can reach you with no middlemen between. And maybe when we're done, I'll get a turn as a reward. But I never got that chance, now you don't love me anymore. Yeah, when I made it to Niagara, you didn't love me anymore. You will not love me by the time you read this note. You told me you would wait if I had to go. I think of you so often with no way to let you know. And this is only the beginning, this simple cable in the sea. Soon we'll have radios and satellites in ways we cannot see. And no one will know the pain of a loving one they cannot read. I'd commandeer the Agamemnon and I'd sail it back to shore. It's just a faster way to learn that you don't love me anymore. So I'll keep laying this cable for the lovers not yet born, so that they may never hear, no, I don't love you anymore.
That's such a nice ending. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the crowd goes wild. Nah, welcome back to Jam Mechanics.
Welcome back to Jam Mechanics. I felt pretty good about that one.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. I really like the production on it. Those drums coming in made me go like, ooh, okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved the I loved the rhythm and the flow of the verses in particular. Mm-hmm. So you gotta keep those verses. I think they're all pretty much perfect as they are. Some of my favorite songs are about ships and people traveling across the sea. Mm-hmm. So this really tapped into something that moves me in particular. Mm-hmm. And it felt like an old folk song, but mm-hmm. about something modern, but also about something not that modern, you know? It felt like a song from like a story from the 1600s, which doesn't make any sense. So it felt like old, new. Can I just say something that's going to ruin your entire day?
I would love for you not to.
Okay, cool. Great. So someone's going to say it though. Like I want to be the one who breaks this to you.
Okay.
And I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more.
They don't get it. They
doesn't
don't
matter.
Get that rhythm.
That song came out in like 1980 something.
Is it? Yeah. Back when the Agamemnon was laying that cable in the ocean floor.
Back when Agamemnon was laying pipe. I don't know what that means. That's a thing I've heard Americans say. What does that mean? Is that about plumbing?
That's how we say hello.
Yeah, like, you know what I think what it was like triggering for me in my mind is like it's so interesting thematically because it's almost like a deconstruction. It's like a full point. It's like a full stop at the end of the sentence of old I'm going on a ship for months songs mm-hmm. because it's a song about how that doesn't need to happen anymore, but it's in the style mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. It, you know. So it feels like a thematic. conclusion to that genre of song.
Oh, really? So I wrote I wrote the finale of old folk songs.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that's what I really liked about it. I liked that this has that feel, but it's also like, yeah, like you said, this doesn't need to happen anymore, right? This is a song about the people that are laying down the groundwork to allow the future generations the ease in which they didn't have, you know. Yeah. This person has given up their love in order to accomplish this goal that creates a comfort for the generations that come after them, which I think is very romantic in its own way. It's not a romance between two lovers, but it's making a sacrifice for the concept of romance and the concept of people that you don't even know. And I really liked where that landed.
Sick. When was the first transatlantic cable laid?
1850 something.
Oh shit. Wow. That's so interesting. That makes me want to read up more about this process. Cause in my head I'm like, laying that much cable in the modern day is an insane thing to do.
It was an unprecedented amount of pipe to lay in 1850.
Can you title of the episode. Perfect. Amazing.
So I think, yeah, going forward, I love the idea. I feel like the idea that I had, the execution of it feels really great. I would mess with the chorus a little bit. There's a little bit of a hint in the bridge of kind of like this, like, prescient, this is only the beginning. Soon we'll have radios and satellites and waves we cannot see, and things will be better in the future. And I think that feels good, but I feel like it was maybe short. Maybe I could have gone somewhere else with it. The alternate idea that I had for the bridge was comparing all of the situations in the past that would have benefited from having this type of communication. So there was like this line of like, imagine Cleopatra had a way to reach her love. And I was going to kind of go through like times where they didn't have instant communication and saying like, you know, what could have been had they had these things.
It also, just as a final note, it kind of sounded, it felt like, I don't know if you know the Decemberists.
I know their name and their month.
That felt sort of Decemberist-y. Okay. I'd be interested to know if anyone who knows their stuff more than I do would agree with that. Do you want me to send over the lyrics to mine?
I would love that. What's your song called?
It's called The Toll Booth.
Is there anything that you want to say about this before we go? Or
my first thought when I sat down to write was, I have been trying to write a track about healthcare for so long, in the style of one of my rantier tracks, like Absolute State of the Union or Cognitive Dissonance Blues or Chendering Teddy. And every time I've tried to do it, I just can't manage it. Mm-hmm. And I get completely lost and I get completely confused. And then I just get so angry that I just have to stop writing. Mm-hmm. And because when I thought of transatlanticism, what I thought about was the relationship between Britain's National Health Service, which is a universal healthcare system, mm-hmm. and America's healthcare system, there is always this feeling like we are about to, our healthcare system is about to be consumed in the name of capitalism. Mm-hmm. And I ended up writing something that I think is reasonably good and is definitely good for a first draft. And yeah, okay, let's go on it.
All right, we got a toll booth here and we are going to hit play. In 3, 2, 1, go.
When Britain's National Health Service was launched in 1948, it set sail on the wake of the Second World War, when the country's citizens, the upper and lower classes, both the rich and the desperately poor, had served together, side by side. And the ones who survived the horrors came home demanding, to no one's particular surprise, more. We did not fight, they said, in our millions just to return to the way things were. We didn't die, they said, in our hundreds of thousands just to save a country where the leading cause of death is poverty. And perhaps for the first time in British history, the aristocrats and the working class agreed on something, largely that arming the nation and teaching them how to fight and die for what they believe in goes some way to making their demands just a little bit more convincing. And so on July 5th, 1948, the British health system was torn out by the follicles and rebuilt in a brave new vision. That it would be free at point of service, that no one would be turned away or trapped into debt by a lack of personal means. That it would be available to everyone who walked through the doors of a hospital or a GP's office, and that the well-off would not be able to skip the queue. This was radical beyond comprehension. A truly universal healthcare system. Doctors across the nation barred their doors and hired personal security. So sure were they that the empowered impoverished would storm their offices demanding medicine and aid, only to find on that Monday morning a polite queue of people in need who for the first time were able to receive the treatment they would have had since birth. If they had been born into a wealthier family. The trouble is, healthcare is one of those future-proof industries, like plumber. People are always going to need water, and if you can fix their pipes, you are within reason set for life. And the hospital and the doctor's surgery are no exception to this. People are always going to get sick. They're always going to get injured. At the very least, everyone has to be born and everyone has to die, and you would be an idiot, would you not, if you had the opportunity and the presence of mind to not set up a toll booth at the well-worn bridges that lead into and out of this life? I'm being facetious, of course. I mean, who thinks like this? Who is so calculating and cruel that they would look at the legions of dying and sick and feel not compassion, but greed? Who would see not the faces of their own parents, friends, and children, but a sea of investment, a captured market, a well of bottomless profit? It would be inappropriate for me, I think, to delve too deep into the catacombs that are the American healthcare system. If you are listening from those shores, then you know better than I do how it feels to live in fear of a broken bone or a birth in the family. I have personally met people who were having to choose between treatment for a treatable disease and a slow death so as to have something to leave their loved ones in their will. A meager windfall, after all, is infinitely preferable over a cascade of debt. Maybe at best, though, you are simply aware of how lucky you are to not fear these things as many do. The privilege of being able to treat mild maladies as the inconvenience they are rather than a fucking existential threat. I only bring this up because the profit machine that is the American healthcare system is hungry and it needs to be fed. There is no such thing as too much money. There is no end game in an investment portfolio where you find the princess in the very last castle and the credits roll. There isn't a kill screen where the arcade machine craps out and kicks you back to the beginning. The score just keeps getting bigger and bigger. The numbers getting longer and longer, separated by decimal points and letters and commas. And when the numbers get so unwieldy that we run out of space, whatever, we'll just start printing the end of year reports in landscape. The machine needs to eat. The painkillers and bloody sheets of 333 million people could only satisfy it for so long. Its eyes inevitably have turned east. And what do you think it sees? When you've broken your arm and are getting it cast at 3 a.m. When your parents start visibly aging and wilting. When your child gets a cough that won't go away. Do you think it wants to help? Or do you think it wants to eat them? Real first dance at a wedding material.
Let's go. Let's go storm the Capitol.
My visa can still be revoked.
we're gonna just edit that out. There was that's some trademark Matt stuff right there.
Yeah, I'm happy with how that came out. Like, one of my favorite bits in that is the nice little bit of production where you've got the
the growl.
Yeah.
Oh man, I you saw me. I looked at you. I was like,
And here's a little tip for people making things at home. Sometimes the best stuff comes out of necessity, because the way I record these tracks is I will just sit with a guitar for an hour, hit record, and then screw, because you can't, like, because when things are this freeform, you can't go back to the beginning of a bar. So when you screw up a bar, you have to go right back to the beginning of the section, and I'll just keep going and keep going and keep going until it's at the end. And the very last cut where it goes into that dun, 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 was terrible, and it sounded so bad I needed something to cover it up. And so I was just like,
was that actually your voice doing that?
Yeah, I pitched it down.
It's amazing. I thought it was like a lion beast sound effect that you found like online or something. So good. Oh man. What do I want to talk about first? There's some lines that I loved. When the numbers get so unwieldy that we run out of space, we'll just start printing the end of your reports in landscape. It's a great line. Good job.
Thank you.
You did it. Loved that. Loved the agreed that largely that arming the nation and teaching them how to fight and die for what they believe in makes their demands somewhat more convincing.
Yeah, apparently I'm all for a well-armed and well-regulated militia. I don't know.
That's why I call you Second Amendment Matt when you're not around. Yeah.
I was pleased with the toll booth that at the well-worn bridges that lead into and out of this life.
What a great analogy. And you know, it's one of those moments that always I think hits harder, where like if that had just been the line, it's a great line, but the fact that I know the title's called The Toll Booth, and then when you get that title land, especially on such a good line, it does so much more to like kick you in the stomach with just like the impact of something like that. Great choice of title, I guess, to just like to take what you wrote and to pick out the thing, the one word that was so like that enveloped kind of everything you were talking about so well, and then use it so well in that line.
I think it's sort of like, you know, the way that people use rhyme to kind of make an idea land is a lot of the time what makes sense with a song is just you want to call it what people are going to Google. You know, if your chorus goes, looking at the ocean, looking at the ocean, then you're gonna call the song Looking at the Ocean, because if you don't, no one's ever gonna find the song.
I love this song. Can we work on
looking
this
at the ocean?
The ocean. Any more to this song, or is it just looking at the ocean?
That's all I got. Wait, what more do you need?
It's good. No, it's a really good song. What's it called again?
And I remember actually you talking about Gendering Teddy. It was a track of mine, and you saying that like the title drop in that is really powerful, and that got me thinking about how you can use title drops to sort of as a sort of meta rhyme scheme, so that if I really want a line to land extra hard, I will make sure that people are primed with that word going into the track, and they don't even know they're listening for it, but when it lands they just go like oh, and then if that line is powerful, then they'll go
I want to pivot, kind of talk about this, because I think it's an interesting conversation, titles, right, and picking them for songs. You work on Narcissist Cookbook on your own. You kind of get to be the judge, jury, and executioner of all the decisions that need to be made when you title something. Is that ever run by anybody, or have you ever had anybody influence your titling of your tracks?
Not like a direct influence. There's not somebody who would like outrank me, but last album on This Is How We Get Better, I was like specifically trying to choose about half the tracks where the titles were chosen to try and grab people's attention if they were looking at it on a streaming platform, you know? So that's something that goes through my head. And if you can't do that, you can do something interesting with the typeface, do it all lowercase or do it all uppercase or something.
I wanted Point to Prove to be called Point to Prove. Yeah. So bad. That's what I want the name to be. And everybody in the band was like, you should call it like the Ugly Kid song, right? Because there's a line and it's like, I was an ugly kid with a handsome older brother, right? And that was the punchline. And it killed me that they wanted to make the punchline the title.
Yeah.
And so I eventually acquiesced a little bit and I was like, okay, the song is called Point to Prove, in parentheses, I was an ugly kid, which I never refer to it as that, ever. If you've ever heard
I've never heard anyone call it that.
It is more of an eye catcher. What would you rather listen to? Point to Prove or Point to Prove, I was an ugly kid?
And okay, you know,
history has shown that it was the right call, but I'm still so annoyed by it.
So at the time of writing, Taylor Swift has just dropped her new album, the Tortured Poets Department or whatever it's called. I am going to refrain from giving a strong opinion on it because people sure do have feelings,
Matthew,
about that.
This is the, I think, fourth time that you've tried to bring up Taylor Swift on this podcast. And if you've noticed, I have edited it out every single time.
No. This is, you can't edit this out. This is a really good one.
I'm not letting your Taylor Swift rants, these 15-minute Taylor Swift rants, get onto our podcast, no matter how hard you try.
But, like, there is something to be said for naming tracks what is going to... Like, if you have a title of a song that evokes... You're going to fucking cut out my Taylor Swift takes. I can feel it already.
Sure.
It's gone.
I'm already thinking about... I'm thinking about something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. First episode, season two. Season two, we back, baby. We got a song about laying pipe across the ocean. We got a song about the health services across the ocean. Thank you, Deep Blue Ink, for coming in and setting us some challenges that got our brain juices ready to be milked.
I hate that. So Matt, what did you think about this, having us kind of work on the same prompt? Obviously, we ended up in very different spots, but like you can see where we both launched off of.
I like this. I do like this. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming and joining us at our Jam McCabin. I'm sure we will be evicted from here as well and end up in a Jam McCovel.
If you see a big man, a big businessman, a big suit, big cigar,
just send him in the other direction.
Don't tell him where we are. We are in our little nice little Jam McCabin in the woods, and he's so greedy, and so help us out here.
We will be back in 2 weeks, but when you hear this, as long, assuming you are hearing this, yeah, when it has been dropped, we're going on tour in June 2024. We're going on tour in August and September 2024.
Cannot stress this enough. Not a Jam Mechanics tour.
It is not a Jam Mechanics tour.
We are plugging it on this podcast. It is not a tour of the Jam Mechanics music. We're just going on tour as Bug Hunter, the Narcissus Cookbook. We might play a Jam Mechanics thing, but like,
you can't demand it.
Yeah, but do not come to these shows thinking it's a Jam Mechanics show. We're going to play a bunch of the hook and dissing and all, like, it's not going to be that. It's Bug Hunter Narcissus Cookbook, but it's us. So we feel like if you are invested enough to be on the podcast, you might want to know that we're coming to a city near you. You can check dates at bughunterbug.com. We have a Discord. You can join it. The link should be in the description somewhere. Or you could just reach out to our social media accounts and we'll get you set up for the Discord. We do a live listen along for new episodes in the Discord. It's very fun, where people will say 1, 2, 3, go, and we'll all listen to the episode. And you can be a part of that if you want to be a part of that. We're both normally in there and chatting with people. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
How are we end season two? Are we doing our little?
Yeah. Why not? Jammies? Why not?
Just doing our little jammies.
Oh, yeah. Staring at the ocean. Staring at the ocean. We're going to have to do a fade out. Staring at the ocean. Staring at the ocean. Laying pipe. Boom.
They always told me I was speaking too early. Your lack of buddies is a little concerning. You heard the rumors, now I'm hearing confirming. I made a friend in my 30s.